Take out your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. As I was praying this week, the Lord took me back to something. How many of you know that sometimes the Lord will take you back to something? The Lord took me back to something. And I said, well, Lord, when he did that, I said, Lord, I've talked about this not very long ago in the church. And I'm just concerned that as I have said this already, that, you know, it's going to be kind of redundant. And the Lord said that now is the time. Everybody say now is the time. The Lord said now is the time that some people are listening. He said there was a season when people were not listening at some point in time. And he said now is the time they're listening. And he said, Parkey, the word that I'm going to share through you today is actually a life or death word for some people. A life or death word. There are people here today that are actually in a situation in which their lives are at stake. And I'm not being dramatic when I say that. I know there came a point in my life when, right before I was born again, that my decision to follow Christ wasn't a philosophical decision. It wasn't a decision based upon success in this area or mediocrity in this area. My decision to follow Christ came at a time where it was life or death for me. I was actually choosing life or choosing death. That was the decision for me. To continue on in the pattern and the place that I was at was going to lead me to a place where I was going to end up either in the insane asylum or I was going to end up dead or I was going to end up free. That's the place it was. Okay, and the Lord has told me, he said, there are people that are going to be here today that applies to them. And so as this word comes forth today, I want you've heard tinges of this before, but how many of you say, I'll open up my spirit again, Pastor, and I'll hear what God's saying to me? The rest of you won't open your spirit, huh? Now let's try it again. How many of you say, I'll open up my spirit, Pastor, and I'll be ready to hear something new from God? All right, Mark chapter 1, we're going to begin to read at verse 21, give me an opportunity to get there if you would. Mark 1, okay. Mark 1:21. Now this, we're going to jump right into the story. Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, and he has his disciples with him, okay? And he is in the town called Capernaum. And that's where we jump into the story. Verse 21. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, that being Jesus, entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, a different spiritual dimension appeared when Jesus entered into this place of worship. A different spiritual dimension appeared. It was not something that the people were used to. It was something that was taking them from where they were to a different place, or at least it was challenging them. It was challenging them to leave the place that they were and to go to a different place in the spirit. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Now here's a place of worship. A place where you would think that the desire would be for Jesus to have his way. A place where you would think that the outcry would be, yes, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come do whatever you want to do. But instead, right in the midst of this religious place of worship, there resides a spirit there, a spirit of control, a spirit that has a different agenda, apparently, than the one that Jesus has. And he begins to respond when Jesus comes in with authority. Now, this spirit was there operating all along. And the worship was going on every day like normal. And everything may have looked like it was okay. But when Jesus appeared, this thing could no longer stay hidden. And when he came into the congregation, Immediately, this spirit of control recognized who he was, recognized the control that he had, recognized his desire for that place of worship, and it began to cry out in defiance. Everybody say defiance. In defiance of what the Lord wanted to do. And he said, let us alone. What do we have to do with you? Isn't that an interesting statement regarding the house of God, a place of worship? What is this place, what does it have to do with you? He said, did you come to destroy the church here? Everybody think about that for just a second. Did Jesus come to destroy it? And he said, I know who you are. He said, you're the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. That's very important. Jesus shut that voice up. The first thing he did was he shut it up. He said, stop talking. He said, stop with your agenda. Stop it. Silence. Putting to silence your agenda. And then he said, come out. Cease operation here. Stop operating. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice because it didn't want to leave, but it had to. Because one with greater authority stepped into the scene. And it came out of him. And they were all what? Amazed. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, what's going on here? What new teaching is this? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately, his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. In this encounter, we see Jesus entering a place of worship. Residing in that place of worship was a demonic presence. This presence was defying what God wanted to do in that house. You might not have been able to tell it just by looking at things, because I'm sure a lot of religious things carried on as normal. And you would have seen some activities that looked normal religiously in the worship of God going on in that house. But the interesting thing about it was, is there was a separation there, because God was not operating, his will was not being allowed to operate at the fullest extent. It looked good, but God was not in control of it. It looked like it was holy. It looked like it was sanctified. It looked wonderful, but God wasn't even there. He wasn't even controlling it. Inside of there, operating in there, controlling in that thing, was even a demonic presence. Did you know that Satan is not afraid of your religion? He will even use it to keep you separated from him, from Jesus. He'll use your religion. Now, I want to ask you, how many places of worship do I have in this room? How many of you are a place of habitation for the Lord? Let's bring this personal. We've talked about it in the concept of the church now. Let's bring this home to where we live. We're all, if Jesus lives in us, if we have accepted him as our Savior, we're all places of worship. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And many people invite Jesus into their life, but despite their invitation, it appears that something other than Christ has control in their life in some area. Trying to change things by sheer act of will is not working. Trying to change things by association. Well, I'll associate myself with something that promises this or promises that is not working. The same thing was going on here in Capernaum. You know, I've been to that synagogue there at Capernaum when we went on our trip. And it was one of the places that stands out when we went to Israel. It's one of the places that I remember the most. Because I stood right in the midst of those ruins there at that synagogue in Capernaum, right there by the Sea of Galilee, and I thought about this encounter when I stood there. And I thought about how Jesus, that right there in that place where I was standing, Jesus came into that place and had a showdown with that presence that was there controlling what should have belonged to God. And I want to share with you some things that the Lord has shown me out of this encounter here that I believe is going to set people some people free today who have a stronghold in them operating that's not budging. All right, I'm talking to people today that feel like you have come to God, you have given your life to the Lord, you have associated with the right thing, but things aren't changing. Okay, and I want to come today to you with the solution that the Lord says is going to help you. And I'm going to break this down into a few points. I think I've got 3 points, but each one of them is really important, so listen up. Here's the first point that I want to bring out to you today. Religion cannot change your current condition. Now, this is pretty well known, but many people come to church thinking coming to church alone is going to bring a change in their life. All right? Religion can't change your current condition. Now, religion is a system, and systems are comforting. It's really nice when you've got issues to come to somebody and I've got a deal for you. Man, if you'll hook yourself up with us and you just get associated with us and you just start coming on Sunday and you start, God forbid, coming on Wednesday night, getting a little extra, then you are going to experience some change and you're going to see some change in your life. And a lot of people have done that. They have said, you know what, that sounds like a good deal to me. I've got things operating in my life that are not budging and they are controlling me. And so they hook up with the church because they've been promised that they're going to get better and believing that getting into a system is going to make them better. But I'm going to tell you, religion has no power over a stronghold. The word religion very simply implies that you do something over and over. That's all it means. You're doing something religiously. Doing something religiously just means that you do it over and over and over again. But the problem is that a stronghold will not respond to repetition, no matter how holy or religious it appears. It won't respond to that. As a matter of fact, it may even encourage it. Because you see, they're in Capernaum resting comfortably in the church, in the synagogue, in Capernaum, undisturbed by the current religion that was going on there, was a controlling evil spirit. Sitting right in the midst of all that religion, something demonic was at work. Not only did the religious activity of the synagogue not solve the problem, it added to it. You see, religion is a tool of the flesh to seek control. That's what religion is. Religion, divorced from God, is just a tool of the flesh to seek to bring change and to seek to control things. The problem is it doesn't carry any authority. So you can say, man, I've got messes going on in my life, and I need to get to church to start getting those messes straightened out. Well, you know, when I came to know the Lord, before I was born again, I was facing life or death. Now, the issue with me is, I had been in church when I was younger and had seen the operation of religion. So I already knew that religion didn't hold any answers, that just going back to church was not going to solve my problem. And so I just stayed away from it all because I had already been there, done that, had the t-shirt. I'd already understood and seen what religion separated away from God could do. Guess what it could do? Nothing. Nothing other than bring deception on the people that were practicing it. So I didn't even try that. That wasn't even a solution to my problem. I divorced myself away from that and stayed away from that completely. Controlling mechanisms promise comfort, but they don't have any power over deeply embedded sin. Now, the stronghold in the synagogue was not intimidated by the religion as long as it stayed separated from the authority of Jesus. Said, you can go ahead and do what you're doing. As a matter of fact, I actually encourage it. Because people on the outside are looking for solutions to their problems, and I encourage you to continue this religious sham that's going on, because then people will look at the church and they'll say, there's no answers there either. He said, I encourage this thing to continue. If you're suffering from a stubborn stronghold of sin, it's not going to move just because you're a Christian and go to church. Your stronghold can operate comfortably right in the middle of your religion. It can operate real comfortably there. It's going to take more than a change in title and involvement in the system to get you better. All right, that's a base point. Now let's go to the second. Let's go to the second thing that's being said here. Your stronghold has a voice. Stop listening to it. The first thing that happened when Jesus did show up is he flushed that thing out. That thing was operating, and its desire was to operate hidden. Strongholds, the core of your stronghold likes to operate in isolation, and it likes to operate hidden from sight, okay? But when Jesus came in, it began to speak. And many people with besetting problems can't seem to break out of the isolation that their problem desires. Your stronghold works best in that isolation. It uses the failure of religion to bring hopelessness in the mind of the individual in whom it resides, therefore strengthening its position all along. Get involved in church. Yes, that's what I want you to do. Go on over there and try. Try to do it. Get in that system and see if that system will do anything. The whole time saying, if I can keep the system separated from the presence, then their desperation is only going to deepen and their hopelessness is only going to deepen. And people that are looking at their life are going to write off the system even as being an answer to the problem. Now, your stronghold isolates you through the fear of exposure. You're going to be exposed for what you really are. And it isolates you through the fear that God has decided to overlook you for your deliverance. When you got something stubborn in your life and you're at the place where you're trying to manage it through systems, then it, in one of those systems being religion, it can become it's very easy to get discouraged and think, why is God not working? The system said God would do it. Get involved in the system. Maybe even go to a class. Come delivered. Well, it's just I joined the gym. I don't go. Everybody can look at my belly and tell. I don't go. And I'm upset. I'm a part of the system. But it's not working. I haven't lost any weight since I've been a part of the gym. I'm going to go down there and tell them I'm going to quit because they're not giving me what they promised. I can even walk in the gym. Well, I have. I've walked in the gym, sat down on the couch, and watched a football game on the screen in there. Anybody ever done that before? And nothing. No pounds come off. Nothing happens. I get discouraged. I think, what's the use of being a part of this? Okay, I haven't let the authority of those workout regimens come over my life yet. I haven't let that take authority in me yet. You know, because when a person becomes born again, you win or lose the battle, not in the spirit usually, but right here. I'm not talking about mind control here. I'm just talking about this is the only place the enemy can attack you once you get born again. It's the only place he can come against you to try to diffuse what God is doing. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That's a very big key to deliverance. If your stronghold is talking to you, telling you things, and you're believing and listening to it, then you are conforming to that stronghold. We become what we think. If the thoughts that dominate us are the ones that are originating from the stronghold, then we become discouraged and defeated. Romans 8:6 says this, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. And when you're listening to that stronghold and it's speaking to you and you're listening to it and receiving what it has to say, then death is setting in. That's a carnal spirit. That's a carnal voice that's speaking to you. But to be spiritually minded is what? It's life and it's peace. Do you have any peace when you're bound? Do you have any life when you're bound? No. And that's what the Lord wants to get into us. Before that stronghold is kicked out of you, you need to put it to silence. You need to stop listening to it. You're going to have to say no to it. You're going to have to say, no more. I have never in my experience just seen myself delivered until the very first thing that I had to do was say no more. No more. Authority is the key. Authority is the key. So let's look at point three. Strongholds exist or die through authority. Okay, this is where we're going. Jesus entered that synagogue in Capernaum. Immediately the stronghold recognized him. It recognized his authority. When Jesus enters a place, even you, when he enters you, when he comes close to you, his holiness flushes the strongholds to the surface. So many people, they get upset because they get into church and the next thing they know, everything that's wrong with them starts coming to the surface. I never forget, we were doing morning prayer down at Rockwall. We used to pray in the mornings from 6 to 7 a.m. And somebody told me I'd probably be holier if I went to morning prayer. But I wanted to learn how to pray because that was a praying church and I wanted to learn how to pray. I got there in the morning in the presence of God at 6 a.m. Every evil thing started being flushed to the surface in me. I don't like the way he leads. I don't like this. I don't like that. Why is that guy over there walk when he prays? Why is that guy over there pray so loud? Why does this guy back here, why does he smell so bad? Why doesn't that guy over there, why didn't he wash his hair before he comes? Doesn't he know how bad he looks? How can you pray while a dander flakes are falling on the knees of my pants while we're here? I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't do that. I don't like that song that they started off with this morning. How can they expect? You understand what I'm saying? I got in there and I almost quit going because I thought, man, I'm getting worse instead of getting better. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? I'm getting worse. And then I started asking God. He said, this is working just perfectly. That's what he told me. He said, this is working perfectly. I said, how can you say that? Since I've been coming to prayer, I'm a judgmental, unspiritual, angry person. The Lord said, you're getting in my presence and everything's being flushed to the surface. Everything, my authority is causing everything to come to the surface. Not in an intent to frustrate you, but an intent to free you. You see? How many of you, when you came to church, you thought things were going to change for the better, they actually got worse? That's normal. It can be normal. Not necessarily, but it can be. Because God is saying, are you serious about freedom? I'm going to set you free. I'm going to set you free. And you're like, well, I've come here and I'm a worse person I was before I started. And the Lord said, no, you're not. He said, that's just my authority. When my authority enters a place, all that other stuff that's hidden has to be revealed. It cannot hide anymore. It cannot continue to operate in isolation. You leave here, it's just going to continue to operate. It'll go back undercover and continue to operate like it's been operating all along. You stay and I'll cast it out. All right? So unable to maintain its secrecy, the stronghold sought to maintain its isolation by separating the place of worship, me, from the Lord. Okay? It says, I don't mind you doing this religious thing, but keep him out of this because he'll mess this all up. Okay? He'll mess it up. He has the ability to topple this thing. So, it was the authority of the word of Jesus that caused the stronghold to be silenced and to release his hold. Now, religion doesn't hold any solutions. But when you come into contact with Jesus, first of all, the first thing that happens, it's revealed. And it's at this point that to be free, you must allow the release of the authority of the word over you, and you must accept the authority of that word. Amen. Now you say, I've tried that, Pastor. It's not working. Well, let me tell you how John did it with me. John, you know what we did? We just kept after it. And we prayed. I had areas of my life that I wasn't accepting the authority of the word in. I started meeting with John. We started talking about it. And John didn't get frustrated. He just kept saying the authority. He just kept speaking the authority of the word into my life. Okay? The plan to get there didn't change. I just had to get to the place to where I began to say yes to it. I thought that stronghold came along and said, I own you. I own you. And so therefore I have the right to operate here. I said, yeah, you're right. It's been there a long time. I can't do anything about it in my own flesh. So therefore that must be right. It owns me. God, please ride along on a white horse and deliver me all the whole time he's there in my life. Please just come along and just drive this thing out, even against my own will. When I embrace it, when I agree with it, drive it out. And the Lord says, that's not the way it works. He said, you're still playing religious games with this thing. You're still coming here, you know, expecting the system to be able to drive this thing out. System of meeting with someone, the system of doing this religious thing, the system of crying out to God and acting helpless. And he said, no, you can't drive out a demonic presence on your own. You can't drive that out. You don't have the power. But in the name of Jesus, you do. And he said, the first thing you're going to have to do is stop that thing from speaking with authority in your life. Stop it. Well, will that stop its operation? It's a first step. It's a first step. But you got to say, no, no. Stop, I am not loved. I am not being singled out for destruction by God. I am not hated by him. I am not second-class citizen in his kingdom. I am not ignored by him. Anybody recognize all that stuff when these things come against you and you hear that thing talking to you? Leave us alone. Leave us alone, authority of Christ. I own this thing. God doesn't love him. God's rejected her. God's not going to do it for her. Deliverance scriptures apply to everyone but for her. Jesus walks up and that thing starts screaming in your life. So that's what you've noticed. But you are going to have to get to the place, it's all about authority. How do you deal with a bully? Authority and power. You don't say, please, Mr. Bully. Please, will you not beat me up anymore? Please, will you not meet me at the corner around that same corner every day? There you are. My heart just starts beating when I approach that corner because I just know you're on the other side. Please don't take my lunch money anymore. Mom, please, please, please. Does that stop the bully?
No.
You're just playing right in the bully's hands when you do that. The bully says, I've really got my tongs in him deep. When he sees you responding that way, that's what he says. He says, I've got him fooled, deceived, and bound. The whole time the Lord's standing there, he's saying, I'm here. Release me on this thing. I don't believe it. He's more real to me than you are. As long as you're that way, it'll continue. With the Lord right there, and you're right there available to you. At some point in time, you just have to say, shut up. When that thing starts talking to you and telling you all the reasons that it belongs in your life, well, everybody hated you. This person abused you. Well, this person sexually molested you. That will never go away. This will never change. That will never change. You can't go back and erase those kind of things. They're there forever. They're a part of who you are. They've shaped you to be respond the way you do. And you got to do like Jesus did. What Jesus, first thing he did with that thing, what did he say? Be quiet. He said, be quiet. And then he said, then you say, you don't have any authority over me. He says, I've been operating here a mighty long time. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how long you've been here. I could care less about that. Because we're talking about in the moment right now. Anybody ever see Lord of the Rings where Gollum told that other personality to leave him alone? You ever seen, that? Finally, he had to stand up to it, didn't he? He had to say, no more. Leave and never return. Leave and never return. And you know what it'll probably do? Do this like this one did. Fall on the floor. You know what I mean? No. You know what I mean? No. And then you can get that scare you. He's not going. Oh, yes, he is. He wouldn't be acting like he was. Because remember, he wants to operate in isolation. He's on the far end. He's gone through exposure all the way through. Now he's being kicked out. And so when you see him on the floor fighting to stay, it ought to give you confidence. You say, this thing's a done deal. It's a done deal. He's fighting to stay, but he ain't staying. Leave and never return. And I'm going to tell you, when you do that and then you start really listening to the Lord and saying, Lord, I believe what you said about me. The Lord is more than a conqueror in your life to all those who are not addicted. Is that what it says? I am more than a conqueror to all those that are perfected. I am more than a conqueror through all those who have no problems anymore. I am more than a conqueror to those who never experience any problems. Is that what it says? No, it says I'm more than a conqueror. Period. Bottom line. No arguments. Not based upon the current situation. That's why you have to release that authority so that your current situation will line up with what the authority is. And you know what? It's real. It's real. You're not trying to make something happening. You're just enforcing what is real. That's all you're doing. Okay? You're commanding those things to line up with what the truth is. And when you start doing that, I'm going to tell you, that thing's got to go, because it's not your authority that's doing it. It's the authority of Christ you're releasing on it. And it may throw a fit right at the end and really try to hang on right at the end. Well, you've never lived without me. What's it going to be like without me? You're going to turn into some kind of freak. God's going to make you a freak. You see what I'm saying? It'll try anything, say anything when it's getting ready to go to try to stay. You're going to be weird. You're going to be some kind of wild, weird person that nobody likes. You're going to be exiled, living in a cave somewhere, tattered clothes. See what I mean? And you just got to say, go. I belong to Jesus. Let me go. Cease your operation in me. In Jesus' name. And when you do that, man, it'll break. I tell you what, I saw that happen in my stronghold that I had. I saw it happen. And it tried to come back. You know, it tried to cozy back up to me again and come back after it broke. But at the point in time that it broke, I knew, uh-oh, this thing works. You know what I'm saying? I said, this it's not a system. This is somebody kicking somebody's rear. There's the difference going on here. Because I had cried and told it to leave me alone before, and that didn't work. But when I said, I'm not listening to you anymore, in the name of Jesus, release me. And if you got a problem about staying, you take it to Jesus. Talk to him about it. Try to talk him into staying. But I'm not listening to you anymore. The counter is closed. And when I did that, ka-pow, ka-chow. It's Lightning McQueen said, ka-chow. I mean, it broke immediately. I was like, ooh. I started experiencing something I hadn't felt in a while, which was freedom. I said, what's that? What's that? What's that? Like my little grandson goes, what's that? What's that? What's that? Boy, I started crying, thanking God. We had a love fest all the way to work. I mean, that happened in the car on the way to work. You don't have to be in some counselor's office for that to work. It happened right there. I'm not saying that's a bad place, but you don't have to be there. Okay? All right. Remember, the stronghold only operates according to the authority it's given. Once you cease to give it authority by stopping in your mind, accepting its right to operate, it'll be driven out by the authority of the Lord. All right. Let's just all pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence today. It is for freedom. I want to remind you of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. The Bible says stand firm in the authority that God has given you, and do not, through that authority, do not allow the bondages to continue to operate. It's not you. It's not you. It's just your agreement. Your agreement with it is very important. It can only operate according to your agreement after you've been born again. Before you're born again, it's ingrained. Okay? After you're born again, it can only stay through your agreement to it.